It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a...
Josh Cohen, and home team.
This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Oh, yeah, because every single day that you get to spend on this side of the dirt is a good day. Some are just better than others, and this is a great one because it is the prequel to the weekend. That is Super Bowl 58, and we are live from Super Bowl Radio Rose, Mary Square, on this Thursday edition. The home team on the ride home in the HOV lane, like I-95. 4 to 6, ESPN 106.3. 4 to 6 live on the ESPN app. 4 to 6 live worldwide on any smart speaker. Just tell it, play ESPN West Palm. And we stream live worldwide in real time. She is the first lady of the Delusional Republic. She is Jeanette Javier. Buenos dias.
¿Cómo están?
I'm all right. How about you, kid?
Same.
Every day above ground. Look at C-Cat holding down once again. Business as usual. Rough one for you last night, we understand.
A little bit, you know, unanticipated plans that screwed up my night, but it was a good time.
Understand you had a little bit of a rough go of it with the girlfriend's fam.
Yeah, apparently in Spanish culture or in Latin American culture, they call it in-laws and they call it like son-in-law, even if you're not married. So
got it.
In-laws.
100%.
It was brutal.
I am so excited to hear about this.
Wait till you're going to feel better. About your life. You feel better about whatever's happening in your world, you're going to feel better.
Well, it's always, for two perspective, obviously I live that Latina life by association. Right. And two, I mainly 80% have seriously dated gringos.
There you go.
So to introduce gringos to my family, it's always a story. And I'm excited to hear Christians.
You can relate. But by the way, it's just C-Cat being C-Cat. For those that don't know, Christian Cat, a.k.a. C-Cat, producer, co-host of this show. He is like a sitcom character. He's like the neighbor in a sitcom. Mm-hmm. There's always something that he screwed up, did wrong. There's always something that he does that no one else does. He's kind of like a cross between Kramer from Seinfeld and, I don't know. Who would...
Do I have some Costanza in me? Is it just staying in the same show?
No, not really.
No.
You got Kramer from Seinfeld, and then maybe there's a little bit of Dwight Schrute from The Office. Maybe there's a little bit of that going on.
But... they're both so loved in the sitcom. Kramer gets the biggest pop in Seinfeld when he busts through the door.
Yeah, you're the neighbor that comes in and everybody applauds because there's something. You have a wacky, zany idea or a scam or a scheme. Yeah, you're basically Kramer.
100%.
Yeah.
Got a new one for free donuts, by the way. I'll tell you off the air.
Can't wait. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to find out about how to get free donuts.
Hoo-ah!
Get excited for that. It is Super Bowl 58, the weekend thereof, Las Vegas. They are descending upon. Every private jet, every celebrity, every ABC lister, every NFL type in attendance to participate, to just be there, to go to the events and the parties. Most people won't actually go to the game. I never went to the game. I went to the events and parties and all that. And then I got the hell out of Dodge. Get out so you can get home and get on the couch to watch the game in peace. Mm-hmm. Many, many years of this career, I would have personal appearances on Super Bowl Sunday. They would sell me in September or October. So those plans were made. It is so nice when you don't have anywhere that you have to be.
Yep.
It is so nice to be able to do exactly what you want for Super Bowl. And that's a luxury that you'd think, well, wouldn't the luxury be getting paid to eat wings and be amongst the people? I did that for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But when you get to just stay home in your pajamas and have access to your bathroom when you need, and your food, your drink on your time. I mean, what's better than Super Bowl Sunday on your terms?
100%.
I don't want to be at the game. For what?
You would take out guy on Super Bowl Sunday, or no. Do you make your own recipes?
For the most part, I make stuff, or I do take some stuff out, or I buy some stuff and assemble it. Yeah. And we'll get to that in a second. The line on Hard Rock Bet remains. Niners, 2-point favorite. San Francisco, a 2-point favorite. The over-under remains 47.5 on Hard Rock Bet. You know, every year on NFL Network, Good Morning Football, and before that show existed, Peter Schrager, who you see working sidelines on some games as well. Is it with Fox? Is he a Fox guy?
He's a Fox guy and an NFL Network guy. When they have games, he's there too.
When they used to have games. Yeah. Right. Peter Schrager, the last 5 years, has been correct in his Super Bowl prediction. He's called it. Each of the last 5 years would win the game. I want you to take a listen to opening day of the NFL. It was Thursday, September 7th.
Okay.
This past fall.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave his prediction of who would be Super Bowl champion. If you do the math, you got to wait till October, November, December, January, February in a week. So 5 months and just about 5 days in advance. Listen to Schrager's prediction of who would win Super Bowl 58 that he made on Thursday, September 7th or 8th. It was the 7th, I guess. Listen.
The winner with the exact score being 34-28. Remember that now. 34-28. And with second year cornerback Trent McDuffie returning a pick six late in the fourth quarter, the Kansas City Chiefs will yet again be your Super Bowl champion. Folks, I will see you at the parade.
Oh.
And I will wear
back to back
my Chiefs gear, because I'll tell you this.
What do you got?
They might not have Chris Jones.
Okay.
They might not have Kelce tonight. They might not have a lot of things. But when it comes down to it, they've got a dynasty. The Kansas City Chiefs are the team of our generation, and they're not giving up that torch just yet. Kansas City Chiefs will win the Super Bowl yet again. They're back-to-back years. They are the dynasty of the 2020s.
If he seemed distracted, he was taking clothes off.
Yeah. I heard.
He had zip-ups, and he had coats, and so he was taking clothes to reveal his Chiefs gear.
Mm-hmm.
This dude has been on the last 5 years, prior to the game. Not the preseason pick, I don't believe. I don't believe on opening day he nailed the Super Bowl champion. I don't think that were the case. But he had these Chiefs, and why would you believe that? In September, why would you believe, before the season began, why would you believe that? A, they're about to open the season that night with the sexy team, the Detroit Lions, who were coming into town on a weird point spread that night. Chiefs like -4.5, 5?
Yeah, it was right around there.
It was at Fugazi 5 we talk about. So why would he believe that? Well, he's a fan, first of all. He's got a little bit of that Theo in him. You know, that whole, I'm going to tell you what I hope happens, not what I honestly truly believe happens. I can't separate my fandom.
But like, is he like Theo in the fact he's only been a fan since they won Super Bowls?
No, he's been a fan.
Die hard.
Been a fan, yeah. The Kansas City Chiefs were Peter Schrager's prediction. He's gotten the last 5 correct. There was a stretch, by the way, inversely on ESPN, where Stephen A. Smith for 7 consecutive years got the NBA Finals wrong before the series began between who the two participants are. You know how hard it is to get 7 in a row wrong?
And how the timeline works out, there are a lot of Warriors in that, where they were kind of slam dunk in those series.
He'd go against the Warriors, they'd win it. He'd go with the Warriors, then they'd lose it. Stephen A. had 7 consecutive years. I'm trying to think of my recent record. Last year, I know I picked Philadelphia. The year before that, I know that I picked the Rams. The year before that, I know that I picked the Chiefs. The year before that, I believe I picked the Chiefs. So I've gotten two and two my last 4 years, which is for me a pretty good stretch. I'm supposed to be the football guy, the NFL guy, and I am. And I know he's going to win games, but I've not had a great run of Super Bowl. And I've had people ask me via email, social media, DM, or out in public, and people, you know, I had a stretch in the early 2000s where I made a lot of people a lot of money. These people are like, what happened? Like, do you not watch the games anymore? How do you not know? Like, your Super Bowl predictions have been terrible. The lines have been, and the matchups have been, and the outcomes have been. Who would have thought that Tom Brady and the Bucks, all things considered, were going to beat that juggernaut, the defending champions, even if you considered the line and the issues, obviously two guard tackles that were out with injury, but I've not had a great run in the last 2-2 in the last 4 years. I'm going to tell you I'm going to pick at the end of this show, and we'll get into it further tomorrow, but I've not had a very good run. 5 consecutive years, and then preseason on day one before, you know, obviously 8 hours before a kickoff or more, he takes the Chiefs. Whatever Peter Schrager says, start doing the opposite, because he's doing it, start getting them wrong. Law of averages.
I think I'm 4 out of my last 5. The only one I got wrong was the Rams. I thought the Bengals would win that Super Bowl, but going back to the Patriots, going back to the Chiefs, then you also have the Eagles.
You didn't take the Bucs in 2020.
No, I did. Hand to God, took the Bucs.
Wow.
I did.
Well, we know you did. What were you going to do? What were you going to do, not take your Bucs?
No.
That wasn't going to happen. Peter Schrager with that prediction is, I don't know, something to listen to, because the guy's been on every single Super Bowl the last half decade.
His voice kind of sounds like Willy Wonka.
You think so?
Close your eyes. Yes, it kind of sounds like the Johnny Depp version of Willy Wonka.
Yeah, the Johnny Depp.
Can you play it again? Can we hear it again?
Like when he slows things down. That's kind of where it's like the middle. We got to wait 40 seconds.
Plus, nobody saw that version. The original, everybody knows.
Did I tell you about me going to the Super Bowl in Tampa to a bar right outside of the stadium?
No.
And then I had to drive back home because I lost my keys to where I was staying, spilled ketchup on my pants, had to sneak into the backyard of my mom's place, and she met me outside with a bat, thinking I was stealing somewhere else. Stealing and like breaking into the house.
You were taking clothes off a
clothesline? What?
You were taking clothes off a clothesline?
I should have. And then my mom opened up the door with a bat, greeted me, and then I didn't have any change of clothes because it was the house I was staying in locked in Tampa. So then I went to this, and I broke my phone. So then I didn't have any phone too. So then I had to go to T-Mobile with my ketchup stained white pants and Rondé Barber jersey.
The
day after the Super Bowl, and then drive back to Tampa looking the same, and then find my change of clothes.
Yeah. Looking like the Walk of Shame.
100%.
And then some.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, today in Las Vegas, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, all primetime, on which quarterback in the Super Bowl he's actively looking for. He actively would like to, which is strange considering his son is the quarterback, but he's trying to replace him, clearly. Listen to what Deion said. Who do you think he picked? Listen.
This kid is the best story probably that has been over 2 decades. Coming from what the last player taken to in the Super Bowl and lead his team to the Super Bowl because of his play. I love this kid, man. I mean, shoot, I'm looking for a Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy. I'm sorry, I can't recruit right now. It's a damn period. I'm sorry, it's a damn period.
I mean, listen, the game manager monikers.
The game manager monikers?
Yeah, I should have been taken off. I don't know what happened there.
What happened there?
I don't know.
Oh, sloppy sea cat. All right. Deion. It recognizes dead period. I can't say this.
What?
Deion recognizes in the sound it's a dead period and he can't say this. Listen to it again, C-Cat. I worry about you sometimes. Listen to what Deion says.
This kid is the best story probably that has been over 2 decades. Coming from what the last player taken to in the Super Bowl and lead his team to the Super Bowl because of his play. I love this kid, man. I mean, shoot, I'm looking for a Brock Purdy. Is it? Brock Purdy. I'm sorry, I can't recruit right now. It's a dead period. I'm sorry, it's a dead period.
And there you have it. It's a dead period. I didn't mean that because he knows he's going to get fined. He knows right now the NCAA is going to say, what are you doing? You can't do it. You're on TV. You're actively opening recruit. How aware is Deion Sanders of like what you can and can't do?
I feel like for him, it's a little glossy because he is Deion Sanders.
For
and
sure.
He's probably thinking he can get away with much more than your typical head coach.
Yeah, the NCAA is not coming for him. The Big 12 isn't coming for him. They're not going to say, hey, man, you can't, because it's all in good fun. But he's aware as soon as he says it of like, oh, we're in a dead period. Never mind. I can't do that. I can't do that.
I don't know. Jealousy is a powerful drug, man. You see some other
you're
programs.
Turn them in?
Yeah, like, hey, you see this? You see this?
You're going to send them the audio clip?
I wouldn't underestimate it.
I would. That's not going to happen. Prime is safe. Trust me. So the prediction of Peter Schrager leads us to Coach Prime on which quarterback he actually is looking actively. He didn't say Mahomes. He didn't say that's the big story because Mahomes is a great story, but you'd think that he'd get a little more love on that. Brock Purdy is the story of this Super Bowl in the sense of the last pick of the draft, last season to the NFC Championship game. Without him, they couldn't do it. Now they're back. Redemption gets a chance to. What will he be when the lights are brightest? What will he be when the field is hottest? What will he be with 200 million watching? What will he be?
Yeah, because we've seen Mahomes Super Bowls, and we have the feeling that the kind of talent he is. We'll see more Mahomes Super Bowls, which is hard to count your Super Bowls now, but this is new. Brock Purdy is new.
There's a 0.0% chance that we're guaranteed to ever see Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl again.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like, well, we know we're gonna. Well, we know we're gonna. But there's still no guarantee whatsoever. No. You know, there have been quarterbacks that had a run. Russell Wilson went to a couple. Right?
That's what I thought of. You thought that Seattle future was going to be so much brighter than it was.
Felt like they may go to 4 and 5 years.
Well, couldn't that be said about Cam Newton and the Panthers, too?
That window didn't feel the same. That didn't feel like they were building something that had something that was sustainable. That felt like a one-off year, to me at least. It didn't feel like, oh, they're built for this. Because it wasn't like his first few years in the league. You know, Russell Wilson entered the league in 2012. And here they were playing Super Bowls in 2014 and 2015.
Yeah, and the defense behind him, too. So, like, you always had that. Even if Russell Wilson wasn't the guy, top guy in the NFL, you had that Legion of Boom.
Yeah, and it didn't feel that way. Not to me. It didn't feel that way. No. Did you get that sense? They were 15-1.
The bad optics collapsing in the Super Bowl like that in his first appearance.
You didn't think he'll be back. No,
tough.
No. Listen, Dan Marino went his second year. Brock Purdy's in his second year. Dan Marino went his second year, and people thought, this is going to happen a lot. We're going to see this for the better part of the next decade. Guys didn't play till they were 40 then. At 36, if you were playing quarterback, you were old as hell.
Mm.
Old as hell. You were an outlier. Dan Marino never got back. Never got back. Closest he got, we talked about yesterday. Closest that he got was an AFC championship game, I believe it was, in January 95, if memory serves me correct. Listen, we think that we know that this Chiefs dynasty is just that. They're a dynasty as of now. They don't need another win. They've gone to 4 and 5 years. They've won two. They're a dynasty now. A third would solidify, and the argument, you couldn't have the conversation. You have to get rid of that sports debate, and then you can talk about which is more impressive. The Patriots winning 3 and 5 years, those first, or these Chiefs. But we have no guarantee whatsoever that either one of these teams with this quarterback will get back. It feels like Mahomes is like, they'll be in the mix. We don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
We have no reason to believe that.
Yeah, the big variable there is, what's it going to be like when Andy Reid calls it quits?
What's it going to be like when Travis Kelce calls it quits? What's it going to be like when free agency and cap numbers play a factor? What's it going to be like? It feels like we know, but mark this conversation, because next year or in 2 or 3 years, we'll be able possibly to say they never got that close. They never got past the divisional round. They may not even make the playoffs next year. Sooner or later, all things come to an end. If you don't believe me, Patriots. Sooner or later, who would have thought? I would have. I just would have thought it had been a few years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong. I thought it'd be earlier.
And there's so many good quarterbacks in that conference, too. Like, it's so easy to see a Burrow take one of those spots, a Lamar even take one of those spots, and a Josh Allen.
The Chiefs have to take advantage of this opportunity, because Burrow's going to be back, and the Bengals will be built to win. Baltimore's going to be back, and the Ravens will be committed to doing just that. Buffalo is going to be back. The Dolphins are going to be back. You've got an AFC QB, a future situation in which the Chiefs may not be the class of the conference, but they navigated their way. And by the way, this is the most impressive Chiefs team that we've seen, because they had to play wild card weekend. Because they had to play wild card weekend in 25 degrees below zero, the great equalizer that wipes out home field.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they went on the road to Buffalo and handled their business. And they went to Baltimore and handled their business. This is the most important and most impressive and most challenging route that the Kansas City Chiefs have had to travel. Your road is the path that you take, and the route is what you choose and how you get to get there. Both of which, for the Kansas City Chiefs, have been the most difficult and simultaneously the most impressive. So Schrager, we know, is all about the Chiefs. At least he was back in September. Coach Prime wants himself a quarterback like Brock Purdy. How sure is Chad Ochocinco? How sure is old Chad Johnson that Kansas City wins this game Take a listen to what he said on Radio Row.
If the Chiefs lose, I won't eat McDonald's anymore.
Ever?
Ever.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, wait, whoa. That's crazy.
It's crazy. That's
Wait, hold up.
That's how confident I am.
No. I feel like the equivalent of that bet is like $5 million.
Something like McDonald's
is probably watching this like, what the hell?
Yeah, Chad Johnson, the $5, $5 million is the money he spends there. Chad Ochocinco is notorious, as he says, cheap. He's not thrifty. He's not frugal. He's cheap. He loves McDonald's. He splurges on McDonald's and good cigars, by the way. He's also very generous, if you've ever known. He's a very big tipper. He likes to share the wealth and inspire others. He's so sure Kansas City will win, he'll never eat McDonald's again. This has me rethinking my prediction. This has me rethinking. What does he know? What does Chad Ochocinco, what does Chad Johnson know that makes him so sure that he's willing to risk his beloved McDonald's? That's a whole nother level, you see. And you say to yourself, what could he possibly love more than McDonald's? I can tell you what possibly doesn't love as much. Take a listen, because he's going to take his bet one further.
Matter of fact, this is rated PG, right? This is rated PG.
You can say what you want.
It's like Disney. Yeah,
yeah. You can say what you want.
Go for it.
Matter of fact, if the Chiefs lose, I'll divorce my wife and no more sex for the rest of the year.
Lot you're putting on this.
I mean, that's so, how confident I am.
So no McDonald's, a divorce. And no sex.
And she's right there. She's right there. And yeah, I don't care.
All three.
That's how confident I am.
That's how confident he is. Now, my question for you is, when he says, I'll divorce my wife and no more sex to the end of the year, is that sex with her or sex in general? Which is it?
I think it's open for interpretation.
It is.
I think that it's with her.
I don't think it's with her. I think I'll divorce my wife and no sex, meaning anybody else, for the rest of the year.
I'm with you on this, Josh, but there is a huge gray area like that needs to be defined. I will not be having sex with her, and her, or anyone else, period.
Right. So maybe we'll get a hold of Chad Ochocinco and see if he can't join us and clarify what that was. We'll see if we can't get a hold of him. Maybe we'll try and slide him in tomorrow on Super Friday.
I would love to. What possessed him to say that? Like, okay, everyone knows him as the McDonald's guy. That's how he fueled his NFL career. You wouldn't think that.
He's becoming a media personality. He has a popular podcast with Shannon Sharp. He would like to be talked about. He would like to grow his base and his brand. And so you say things like this, and McDonald's is going to say, no, please don't bet this. And then also, we're going to talk about it. When's the last time we talked about Chad? See what I'm saying?
Well,
he knows what he's doing.
He's also known for being super extra, not even now, but when he was playing football on the field.
Of course.
This is when the penalties of too much celebration on sportsmanlike conduct started coming out because of Chad Ochocinco. His name is literally the numbers that he wore in his jersey. He is known to be extra. So if anything, I am not surprised that he said this.
He's kind of the inventor of the choreographed celebration, of having props.
Yes.
Of dancing with the cheerleaders, taking the pom-poms. He had a coat, and they wrote in tape, HOF, class 2000-something, .. And obviously never made the Hall of Fame, but he wore that in celebration, promoting himself. He's a shameless self-promoter and brand builder, and good for him.
And he's natural. He is just hilarious. He's a funny guy.
You're a big fan.
I'm a massive fan.
Like, just as of now, or have you always been?
Growing up, one of my elementary school teachers was a big Bengals fan. Mm. So I saw 85 on the wall, and I started watching Chad Ocho clips. I had the app. I had the Chad Ochocinco app, which is pretty much a soundboard of things that he would say.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He was like, kiss the baby. like stuff like that.
Kiss the baby.
I became a huge fan of him with the Dominican roots when he changed his name to Ochocinco. I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
I thought that would offend you, because that's not, that's 8'5".
I was
going
to say, so he thought 85 was Ochocinco.
I know,
but Ochocinco means 8'5".
To me, that's just perfect.
Ochentecinco is 85.
Of course, but that to me is just an additional layer of absolute satire and irony.
Well, you say of course, but we got to clarify for the audience.
Okay.
Most of whom don't speak a lot of Spanish.
My apologies.
Ochocinco is saying 8'5". He wore 85. He thought 85 was Ochocinco. It's Ochentecinco.
Mm-hmm.
A-T, not eight, Ocho. Ochente. A-T.
Yes, 85. And to me, that was absolutely hysterical that he made that mistake and is writing with it legally.
Ochocinco was doing some stuff with BR bets, with Bleacher Report bets, And during the UFC 264 press conference, Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier, part three, where the pink suit guy unfortunately was born. Part of the reason that pink suit guy was born is because of terrible questions that were being asked by people like Chad Ochocinco, who got up to the microphone and said, Chad Ochocinco, Bleacher Report, BR Betts, Conor, I got to know, I got a lot of money. Are you a lock on Saturday night? And I was like, this is really what the questions are? Like, this really, are you going to win this fight? That was like the moment I thought, if there's not a good question, I'm going to have to ask one.
And
like, I'm going to have to.
And UFC interviewing history was made.
Yeah, unfortunately, sadly. And then Saturday night, I'm in the media tent grabbing a couple bottles of water and getting the rundown on the night. And I'm about to head into the arena to actually watch the fights because, you know, I'm reporting, I'm a journalist. Yeah, right. And so, wink, wink. And so in the press tent, Ochocinco sees me and he runs up on me and gives me this big bro hug and a huge smile on his face. He's got a big bro hug and he's like, my man, I got to get you to write my questions from now on. and I was thinking the same thing. No. And I said, I'll try. He was wearing a t-shirt and it said Dave Chappelle, Joe Rogan. It looked almost like an old school, like fight t-shirt.
Gotcha. You know,
like this guy versus that guy. And it was the comedy tour. So when Rogan is in Vegas for National Fight Week, he schedules gigs. So, but it was him and Chappelle at the MGM Grand, like Thursday night, Friday night. And then the fights obviously are on Saturday night. And so I said, yeah, I'll trade you. I'll do your questions for you for that t-shirt. And he's like, nah, I can't get the t-shirt up. But he's one of one. He's definitely one of one. Mm-hmm. And then take it back, Super Bowl weekend. It was early February, I guess, right? 2019. Super Bowl is in Atlanta. I get there Friday afternoon to do a couple of parties, Friday night, a couple of parties, Saturday night. I'm coming back Sunday morning. On my flight with me is a dude who was a big shot executive at Hard Rock, who's a friend of mine in marketing. And then also on the flight with me, Chad Ochocinco, who's doing the same thing we were, going to the events, going to the parties, shaking hands, kissing babies, being available, networking, and then getting the hell out of Dodge. He boards the plane in the last group, like, you know, like the cheap seats.
Mm-hmm.
He boards and sits in a middle seat in like row 34. And he boards the bag with this little, boards the flight rather with this little brown McDonald's bag in hand. And I was like, how on brand? You know, how on brand?
He was the early days of Twitter too. He was like one of the early supporters of Twitter popping off because he would, if I recall correctly, I think it was FIFA where he loved the video game FIFA. Right. He would fly out to fans and then beat the brakes off of them in FIFA.
In their house.
Yeah.
He would be like find his 18-year-old boy in Cucamonga, California.
For the love of the game. You just do
and
it.
And then be like,
away.
I'm coming to your house and beat you in FIFA.
And he was also, one of the first athletes, period, to go viral for leaving such generous tips.
Right.
To people.
Makes you wonder.
Obviously.
Makes you wonder if he really leaves that money or if that's just the copy that you keep, the customer copy.
Gosh.
Yeah, I put my thumb over that when I take the picture.
Well,
you know which one.
A lot of those instances have happened because he's in like Davie Pembroke Pines area often.
Right.
A lot of those restaurants too. So I hope that they're legit.
So Ochocinco likes to come home for the game. I like to come home for the game. A lot of people like to be out there doing the stuff, but then be home for the game. How about Mad Dog? Chris Russo. How does a Mad Dog like to watch the game? What does he want? Does he want to be there? Does he want to be at a party? What's Mad Dog want to do? You probably already know, but take a listen to him.
I like to watch the games alone. I don't want to watch the game in a party atmosphere. I want to have fun with the game. I want to enjoy it. It's the last football game for 7 months. So you want to go out there and soak it all in.
Soak it all
in. You want to hear the broadcasters. You want to get revved up for kickoff. I don't watch a ton of the pregame show, if anything at all. I'll probably put it on at 5:30, 5:40.
And I didn't expect the pregame part. Watching by himself, wanting to get quiet. Completely. That's what, if you said, how do you think Mad Dog want to watch a game? I'd say by himself with his cocktails and his gummies and nobody around and maybe the dog and that's it. Mm-hmm. But I thought he'd watch, I love pregame. I'll watch pregame tonight from when I get home straight through to when we come do this tomorrow. And then we're done doing this tomorrow at 6 p.m. I'm going to watch pregame once again. I love Super Bowl pregame. I love all the nonsense. I love the week leading up to, you know, Sunday gets a little bit, but still, I love it. I also want to be by myself. I also want to be in peace and quiet. It's not like an old guy curmudgeon thing. It's just the people, hey, let me ask you this. Hey, I'm in. It's just, okay. You know?
I get bored for the pregame. Borg, I see that countdown on the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. I see 4 hours there. I think I can't do this.
4 hours.
So you're not. That's earlier. That's too early.
You're not tuning in to 2:30. Shoot, I've been up since 9.
Oh my gosh.
I'm up at 9 a.m. I got like the fourth squad. I got like the D list guys. You know where it's like me anchoring.
Yeah.
At 9 a.m. Welcome into our Super Bowl set here live from Las Vegas. We're gonna hand things over to the C list coming up in an hour, and then it's like this, and then it's the B list. And then finally, it's the stars of the show.
But I also feel like those shows are not built for the football fans. Those are built for America to get you information you need to know to catch up on the season.
Some of it is, some of it isn't. Depends on who you're watching. If you're watching the network itself, don't do that.
Yeah.
NFL Network, ESPN, those are the good guys for sure. If you're watching CBS one, not so sure about that. Meanwhile, Mad Dog clarifies how he doesn't want to watch, what he doesn't want to do on Super Bowl Sunday. Listen to what Mad Dog doesn't want.
I'm not one of those guys that wants to sit around and drink 7 beers with the next door neighbor. I could care less. The game is too serious to me.
I agree.
Let me watch the game in peace. I don't want to, you know, I watch the game with my kids. I got one kid specifically who's totally on top of it. I won't be with him this week. He's in college, but yep. I watch the championship games with him. My wife is in and out. She's in for the commercials, and she's in for the halftime. I could care less about the commercials.
Couldn't.
I'm not revved up in the commercials. I care about the 60 minutes of the game. 6:30 to 10 o'clock. That's what I care about.
Chris Russo, Mad Dog, on what he cares about, what he wants. You know, I don't want to drink 7 beers with my next-door neighbor. I can relate to that. I don't want to go to the neighbor's party. I don't want to be next doors upstairs. I don't want to be that guy. I did the appearances for all those years, and I didn't get a chance to really lock in because you're being rude to people. Uh-huh. Hey, let me ask you this. Hey, what do you got in this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was one Super Bowl Sunday that my appearance was from like 11 a.m. until after the game with travel because we went to one club, picked up people, then went to, when I say club, I mean gentlemen's, one club, and it was a bus we had, and we went to another location, the same gentleman's club, and then the third location. So it was like 8 hours or 9 hours of talent fee.
Wow.
For the day. And all I had to do was just be me and get hammered and eat off the buffet. So that was great.
What a tough job we have.
That was great. That was great. But with that said, I don't want to drink beers with the neighbor. I got to watch the commercials. That's such a big part of what mm-hmm. we do. I got to watch halftime. That's such a big part of what we do. But I love every minute of it. I love the commercials. I love analyzing who's winning, who's losing. I know with a background in advertising and my 25 years plus of this being the advertising, I know what spots worked. I know immediately America's going to love it, hate it. I know immediately America's going to be disappointed or they're not going to be sure or they're not going to care what that product is. So I love all of it. Super Bowl Sunday's my day. I love the first day of March Madness and I love Super Bowl Sunday.
For me, I'm very particular about the about who I'm watching a certain game with. For example, with the Buccaneers, when they're in playoff games, I only select a certain amount of friends in certain locations and I'll watch that with. Like the Super Bowl, I don't really care as long as the Buccaneers are involved in it. And when they were in 2020, I purposely...
You don't have to worry about it. You're going to be fine for a long time.
But for the Magic, I don't know. I'm very particular about that.
Listen, you're going to be fine for a very long time. You don't have to worry about your team being in the Super Bowl.
Man.
You're fine just like that. Coming up when we return, which now former SEC football coach just embarrassed himself in irony on live TV talking about this Super Bowl. You'll hear who, what he said, and then you'll laugh at the irony of this guy trying to be that guy and instead humiliating himself. That's what's coming up next. First, though, C-Cat, Delray Beach Open Tennis is underway.
Yeah.
Friday.
It's awesome. 10 days of tennis tomorrow. On the Ave.
Tomorrow.
It's wild.
The Delray Beach Open coming to Delray Beach Stadium starting tomorrow. 10 days of tennis on the Ave. Big names, Tommy Paul, Taylor Fritz, locked and loaded as part of the Delray Beach Open Field. Plus, the Bryan brothers, they're getting the party started this weekend. 100-mile-per-hour forehands, parties, music, art, all the good vibes that you know and love about Delray Beach Stadium. Snap pics, post memories of the Delray Beach Open. More food, more fun, more drink, more parties, more of everything. DelrayBeachOpen.com for info. You are going to want to be there. If you like tennis, go there for the tennis. If you're not a big tennis fan, go there for the vibes, for the fun, for the party.
It's a party on the Ave, but it's great tennis, and that's a great little tennis stadium.
I was like, the Ave is already a place to be. Yeah. Throwing some good tennis in there? Oh, dear.
We come back, which now former SEC football coach just embarrassed himself in irony. and did it on live TV talking Super Bowl. Hear it next. Laugh with us at his expense. The home team on ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3. Fueled by Celsius. Essential energy drinks. This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
Coming up in just a second, which former SEC football coach just embarrassed himself, cloaked himself in irony and hypocrisy on live TV, trying to talk about the Super Bowl. It's hilarious because if you're going to point a finger, you have to remember the other three are pointing back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say four, because who points with their thumb turned backwards? Mm.
Who played that song, Isn't It Ironic?
Alanis Morissette.
The song is called Ironic.
Ah, okay.
By Alanis Morissette.
You're close.
And the irony of the song is that everything that she states is not actually irony.
Facts.
People confuse coincidence with irony, mm-hmm. and it bothers me. People always say, like Chris Russo just did, I could care less. You mean couldn't care less. That really bothers me. You know what doesn't bother me?
What?
Being out in the sunshine and at nighttime under the bright lights of the Miami Open. Just talking about great local sport and tennis in our area. The Miami Open returns to Hard Rock Stadium for another year of All-Star Tennis. St. Patrick's Day through
nice.
The 31st, 17th through the 31st, where tennis comes to play. 15 days and nights of tennis. Top players, including defending champion Daniil Medvedev and Petra Kvitova. Former champions Carlos Alcaraz, Novak Djokovic, and many, many, many more. Stadium court, which I loved the first year I saw it, 2019. I saw it center of Hard Rock Stadium. So cool. All tickets include access to the tennis campus with additional courts, food and drink and art, live entertainment experiences. Returning restaurant favorites include, once again, Kiki on the River. People love Bodega, American Social. New restaurants for this year. Milos, Fuku, Julian Henry's. There'll be special cocktails on campus. All new Champagne Garden.
We know I Jeanette's love that.
Locked in for that variety of
Let's
wine.
Go.
Beer, specialty bar, signature Miami Open cocktails. And for the first time ever, the Miami Open will also feature an elite wheelchair tournament and Major League Pickleball. It's become huge. Huh. General, club, and luxury seating options still available but limited. Visit MiamiOpen.com for tickets. MiamiOpen.com. Miami Open, where tennis comes to play. The former SEC football coach who just embarrassed himself, in irony, which I love, by the way, and hypocrisy, which is also hilarious, did so on live TV, talking politics, and then talking Super Bowl. We are talking about Tommy Tuberville, who had a couple of stints in the SEC. He was trying to make fun of the president of the United States.
Oh, gosh.
For not being able to remember names, not being able to speak clearly, coherently, to be reminded of what's having to be reminded by the press corps of what they're talking about. Listen to what Tommy Tuberville said, and then listen closely at the end when he struggles with the exact things he was blaming and, you know, mocking the president for. Listen.
He can't remember names. He can't carry on a conversation. He has to listen to the press corps to give him hints about what he's talking about. We're really bad trouble when it comes to Joe Biden, and hopefully we've only got 10, 12 more months with him.
Do you want to make a pick in the Super Bowl or not?
Well, San Francisco's got the best defense. Obviously, the best quarterback is going to be on the side of the Kansas City Chiefs, but they got a running back, and San Francisco is pretty dang good. And usually, running game and defense is going to win the big games. San Francisco.
If you're going to make fun of the old guy for not remembering names and having a hard time with the conversation, make sure in a moment, coach, when you're asked about football, coach, which is your wheelhouse, that you know who's playing, the names of those players,
uh-huh.
and a little, you know, they got in the quarterbacks is going to be with it. Now, he couldn't even remember who the Niners were playing, let alone Patrick Mahomes' name.
He literally turned into the thing that he was making fun of.
And that's what's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Irony and hypocrisy.
How does the song go, C-Cut?
Isn't that ironic?
Isn't it ironic? Try it again.
You know, we learned this song in sixth grade, all right? Because
You learned it in sixth grade.
Yeah, because they taught it, trying to discover
All right, I'm going to give you the setup, and you finish the line. It's like rain.
On a wedding day?
On your wedding day. It's like a free ride.
But you just did pay. Right?
He's very
but
close.
But you already paid.
It's some good advice.
That you just don't take.
Just didn't take.
I'm annoyingly close.
You know, Sika, I think you're doing great. You're doing way better than what I thought. I thought you were going to be like, and be ironic about, you know.
Not remembering things?
Yes.
Okay. An old man turned 88. He won the lottery and died the next day.
Yeah.
No irony detected.
And
that doesn't make
there's
sense.
The dad.
It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife. No irony detected. Meaning the man of your dreams and meaning his beautiful wife.
Yeah, screw her.
No irony detected.
I hate that scenario.
Mr. Play It Safe was afraid to fly. He packed his suitcase and waved his kids goodbye. He spent his whole damn life, waited his whole damn life to take that flight. As the plane crashed down, he thought, well, isn't this nice?
My question is, is
he being sarcastic? Does he think the flight is nice while it's crashing? Doesn't know it's crashing? Or is he like, well, isn't this great? Like, she leaves. It's a great song. I love Alanis Morissette. I just saw her at the amphitheater. It was coming up on 2 years ago now. But that song is ridiculous because every example of irony is not irony.
No, there's some in there.
Zero.
There's some in there.
Zero.
The one where all you need is a knife, I think that's pretty ironic.
Do you know what irony is?
What? It's when...
What? Do you know what irony is?
It is when... No. I don't know the exact definition, but I can probably... The examples I'm giving are obviously wrong, so apparently I don't know what it is.
It's when you go to the spoon store and all they have left are knives. Irony is not crashing your car the day you bought it. Irony is crashing your car into an auto repair shop.
Oh, okay.
Irony is, right, that's the irony by its definition has to be, people go, oh my God, LeBron, you're December 30th. JC, I'm December 30th. And they go, that's so ironic. It's not ironic.
That's not ironic.
That's coincidence.
What about the example of, you mean the man of your dreams and meet his beautiful wife?
Where's the irony in that?
I don't know, it just
sucks.
That's
just bad luck. Right, that's not irony.
It just sucks.
Irony.
Can't even hate the girl.
Yeah. Irony, you need elements of oof, like Shakespearean. Like, nobody was better than irony than Shakespeare.
Heck, no, better at the English language than Shakespeare.
In fact,
period.
My favorite forms of irony are Shakespearean irony examples. And that happened to Mr. Tommy Tuberville, who was on TV campaigning, being Mr. Political Guy, and firing shots at why this guy's not electable while he's running for office. He can't remember the names of the dudes and he's the football guy.
That's where it takes a turn. Like, all right, you don't know football, but you were a football coach.
Right. It's ironic because he's blasting a dude for not being able to do something that he then can't do, but then it becomes Shakespearean irony because what he can't remember is the football stuff, which is why he got elected in the first place as the football guy.
It's reputation, of course.
Right. So if you want to go through the whole song, I can tell you why it's not irony. Because we've done this before.
Don't think we want to do this.
The plane dude, like, he's never went on a plane, and the one plane he goes on, bye-bye. It just crashes.
Right. That's so the irony would be is if he was afraid to fly and he took a train and the train derailed and he died.
Heard. Okay.
He's avoiding the plane. The plane got there fine. Only took the train to avoid that, okay. And that's how he died.
Gotcha.
See the irony now?
Yes.
That makes sense now?
It's ironic.
It is. Speaking of irony and hypocrisy, Stephen A. Smith has words for Tony Romo on how these Cowboys, Romo said these Cowboys can't just keep getting close. At some point, you got to break through. And there's a little bit of irony / more so hypocrisy that Romo's talking about that because he was the guy who kept getting them close, but never being able to break through. Listen to Stephen A.
People who don't get it done don't need to be talking about people needing to get it done. Right. Now, Emmitt Smith got it done. So he could sit up there and say, it's a little embarrassing. I don't understand it. Something's missing. Something ain't right. By the way, play for Jimmy Johnson. You know what the hell he's talking exactly. about. You understand what I'm saying? It makes sense. I get that stuff. But Tony Romo... What? You can't say that. I mean, at some point in time, some self-awareness is mandated. Because when you hear that from Tony Romo, correct me if I'm wrong, Swaggoo. Correct me if I'm wrong, say, you too, MK. At some point, when you're listening to those quotes, you're going to go like this. Who said that? Who? And him? Come on now. Stop.
See, Kat, the thing that Stephen A. said where you're like, ding, 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 exactly, is what?
You're the guy who didn't get it done, so you shouldn't be talking?
Close enough. Jeanette?
I'm right there with you. What an intro.
Yeah. I mean, pretty simple, right? Pretty simple up front. Tony Romo has a job now to critique. That's his job. He's supposed to be critical. It's okay to be like, they're not getting it done, and I know what that's like. I wonder if he threw himself in that, if then Stephen A. would have nothing, and the truth is he wouldn't. You'd have to take the bullets out the gun because you say, well, he accounted for, you know, he prefaced it by saying, if anyone knows about getting it close but not being able to finish, it's me. And you know what? You can't keep doing that. I shouldn't have. We wish we couldn't have, you know, wouldn't have had to. And so, but he didn't. Instead, he just said, you can't do this. And it's like, wait a minute, you did. And that's the society we live in now, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, what about you? What about you? What about you?
At the same time, though, I feel like anything Cowboys related, Stephen A. would find a way to poke and prod and make fun. He would spin it to where it would fit for what sure. he wants to get out.
For sure. By the way, how is the best way to watch Super Bowl? That is a question that's on our Twitter, on my Twitter, at Josh On Air. Vote on that. That'll come up a little bit later on in our Twitter poll results. Mad Dog brought it up this hour, how he wants to watch, how he doesn't want to watch, what he doesn't want to do. How is the best way to watch the Super Bowl? Josh On Air on our Twitter. Vote on it now. We'll share those results coming up in just about an hour from now. Also, another Twitter debate that Jeanette inspired yesterday. If you were calling a hot restaurant in Miami in the 1990s, trying to get a reservation to get in, which fake name would you use? Marino or Flagler?
I didn't see that question.
Marino or Flagler? Vote on that on our Twitter. Coming up when we return, what are the three single biggest wagers on this Super Bowl so far? We have the actual tickets, the three biggest bets that people have made on this game on Sunday. Who are they on? And by the way, when somebody bets big like that, does that make you think maybe you should too? Like maybe they know something?
Along with them, you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. When it's a single huge bet, several people. We'll tell you what that bet is coming up next. First, though, Jeanette's going to tell you about Ballpark Palm Beaches because pitchers and catchers will be here next week.
Sir, it's no longer the ballpark of the Palm Beaches. It's the Cacti Park of the Palm Beaches.
It's the what?
The Cacti Park of the Palm Beaches, a new name inspired by hip-hop star Travis Scott. Maybe you've heard of him. I get those goosebumps every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is the owner of Cacti and is big partner now with the Ballpark of the Palm Beaches, now the Cacti Park of the Palm Beaches. But, like you mentioned, the 2024 spring training is right around the corner, and tickets are on sale now. Come see the American League West champions, Houston Astros, and the Washington Nationals as they prepare for the 2024 season against some pretty big opponents. The Phillies, the Boston Red Sox, Minnesota Twins, Marlins, Cardinals. Just go online at ballparkpalmbeaches.com. See who they're playing, when they're playing. It's literally a month of spring training action. Tickets on sale now. See the best teams in baseball, including, have to mention again, the American League West champions, Houston Astros, and Nationals, as they take the field in 2024 at the newly renamed Cacti Park of the Palm Beaches.
What does Cacti do? What is Cacti?
Cacti is a hard seltzer by Travis Scott.
It's a hard seltzer, beverage.
It's a beverage. Yes. Travis Scott from Houston.
I heard the Travis Scott thing.
But that's the affiliation.
I'm for sure. I wonder if that's going to get confusing because Cactus League is out west and Grapefruit League. So you got Cacti Stadium in the Grapefruit League, not the Cactus League. I wonder if that's going to get confusing.
Maybe it's intentional. Maybe you want to mix it up a little bit.
What are the three biggest bets to date right now on this Super Bowl game? Will it influence how you're going to bet the game? And you would do such, of course, on Hard Rock Bet. We will tell you what they are coming up in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Home team on ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3. Fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks. This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Listen live worldwide on any smart speaker by saying play ESPN West Palm. This is ESPN 106.3.
It is the home team on the ride home, the Prequel edition, weekend kickoff edition. Super Bowl 58, 3 days and counting. We are closing in. Tomorrow we'll be live from noon to 6. Myself, C-Cat, and a gang and cast of thousands with all kinds of interviews and former players and media personalities and odds makers. Everything you'd want and need to know about playing in a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl, betting a Super Bowl, broadcasting a Super Bowl, We'll have those people joining us tomorrow live between noon and 6 here on ESPN 106.3. And by the way, Twin Peaks, I know Sunday, can't tell you what's happening Sunday, but I tell you it's got involvement with extracurricular, extramural, professional men's tackle football.
Okay, cool.
Twin Peaks, how's that for a spot? To watch the fights? Obviously, UFC Fight Headquarters, never a cover. Never a cover for any boxing, any pay-per-view of any type. But also, perfect for those really big games. Eats and drinks and scenic views and 29-degree beer made from scratch favorites. And Pembroke Pines, Davie, Cypress Creek, and Hollywood. And of course, Palm Beach Lakes Boulevard in West Palm. It is the incomparable Twin Peaks. What are the three biggest bets right now in Super Bowl 58 play? I can tell you what they are, and they're going to maybe make you wonder if you're betting this game the way you should be, or maybe alter how you want to bet this game. Biggest bets reported so far, according to Ben Fawkes, who follows from Vegas sports betting. He's going to join us tomorrow, I believe, on our show. $1 million has been bet on this game on the money line. Who is it on, Jeanette?
It's going to be on the Chiefs.
Wrong. 49ers on the money line, minus 120.
Wow.
Minus 120. That was bet with Caesars Palace. $500,000 was bet on this team at minus 125. Same team, 49ers. And then tied in that same is another $500,000 bet on the 49ers on the money line at minus 125. So the three biggest bets so far for Super Bowl 58, $1 million, $500,000, and $500,000. All on the Niners on the money line to win the game. Where's the Chief action?
That feels public, doesn't it? The public knows Pat Mahomes. When I say the public, not the general sports bettor, the general American.
The fact that the Chiefs are a dog again, I still can't wrap my mind around it. I still can't grasp it.
I love it.
We'll get into it further, though, in the next hour and certainly tomorrow ad nauseum. Coming up in just a moment, which former ESPN personality says he knows what the P in Dan Patrick stands for, and he's not happy about it. You'll hear what that is. Plus, C-Cat insults his own girlfriend's father.
That's not, especially if it's a Latino father.
Yeah, not a good idea.
He is not no bueno.
Yep. We'll find out what happened. I'll say this. It is no bueno. It's the home team on ESPN 106.3.